Genesis chapter number 16. If you find, if you want to stand with me for reverence to reading God's Word, Genesis 16. We're going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai's, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Leharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I know I need your help tonight. Lord, as I present this truth and kind of what brought me to this truth, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be better in this area and of my life, and just help me to be an encouragement to the folks here tonight. Help, Lord, I guess maybe that my heart goes out to the young people as much as anything, and Lord, I pray we would all, though, listen with our hearts, listen with our ears, and Lord, I pray we would make decisions according to your word and the way you would want us to make them. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you know the story of Ishmael. And Ishmael has a really neat name. Basically, it means just like it says here, God hears, or God hears me. And I think it's a pretty neat name. There's a couple Ishmaels in the Bible, but this is probably the most well-known Ishmael in the Bible. He's a seed of Abraham. And tonight, I'm going to talk about Ishmael tonight. And Abraham's other son. And everyone knows Isaac. And if you know any other son of Abraham, it would be Ishmael. You don't know any of the other names of his sons. He had a few others by his later wife, Keturah. But I couldn't tell you any of them, and I doubt you can tell me any of them. So we see here the birth of Ishmael. If you'll go back a few pages, go back to Genesis chapter number 12. If you notice, When Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86 years old. All right, 86 years old. A few years earlier, in Genesis chapter number 12, we first see, technically in Genesis 11, we see Abraham mentioned, but in chapter 12, we see a dialogue begin between God and Abraham. And the Bible says, And the Lord said unto Abram, verse number 1, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And we see here the first mention of, they call it, you know, if you take Bible classes, is the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, and this is the covenant that God made with Abraham concerning his seed. Now the children of Israel obviously have come from the seed of Abraham. But honestly, all the Ishmaelites also came from the seed of Abraham. Okay, so they're both, as far as that, they're equal as being the seed of Abraham. But only one of them was blessed by God. I'm going to get to how I got to this study and this about Ishmael here in a moment. But it's been 10 years. 10 years up to this time that we looked at in chapter number 16. 10 years of where God had promised something and it hadn't come to fruition yet. Okay? And honestly, if you'll put yourself in those shoes, that 10 years is a long time.
Yes, sir.
10 years, you know, we read it in within two chapters, we could read it in less than 5 minutes, but that's 10 years of these folks' lives. Okay? And God has promised a seed to Abraham. If you will, go to chapter number 15, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And then Abram probably asked here a question that's been on his and Sarai's mind for quite some time. And Abram said, verse number 2, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." And I've taught and I've preached out of this because I think this thing, later on, God, Abraham, once again, God reiterates this to him over and over. Thy seed, you're going to be blessed. Well, Abraham, you know, Abraham's in chapter 16. Abraham is, what, 85 years old? Okay, he's getting on up in years. This isn't the time of living to 600 years. Their lifespan has already been shortened, okay? And so Abraham is, I think at this point, he's kind of questioning God. God, you've promised me this, but I don't see any result. I don't see any fruition from this. And I'm going to talk about Ishmael tonight because at some point, Abraham and Sarah begin to question God, okay? They begin to question God. Is God going to keep his promise? Is God going to keep his word? It's like us as many Christians, and many times we doubt the words, at least I do. This is, most of the things I preach and I guess teach is stuff I've had to go through myself. So that's the reason, exponential thing about what I've had to kind of work through. So I'm very transparent with that. But I've questioned God. God, you've got these promises, all right? But I don't see them, okay? I don't see them. Where are they? And young people, this is big for young people especially because God's promised a lot of stuff. And as leaders, as your parents, as, you know, people that try to help you, we say, all right, God's promised you this if you'll do this. And at some point, you're like, okay, I trust you. And then a few years go by, and it's like, so what about that promise? What did they say about this? You know, I thought life was all supposed to be good, and stuff's not right in my family. Stuff's not right, you know, at school. Stuff's not right here and there. And sometimes we get in this mindset, and that's the same case for adults too. I'm going to church. I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, but, you know, the money's not there. The things aren't there that I, you know, where's the promises of God? Where is the promise of God? And so I'm going to look at Ishmael tonight, and I want to draw some observations about Ishmael. Because I believe that Ishmael was basically Sarah and Abraham's attempt to fix something themselves. To say, all right, God, we don't see it, so we're going to take matters into our own hands, and we're going to try to do it ourselves. And we're just going to, God, I know you promised this, but, you know, we'll just do it our way and then hopefully you accept it. Because we see that later on. Abraham specifically asked God, if,
hey, will Ishmael work? Essentially, he said, will Ishmael be okay? All right? And I'm going to show you that that's not the way God works. That's not the way God works. And there is a reason for all this. So the first thing I want to say tonight, though, is Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Ishmael was the son of the flesh. And I'm going to explain this to you. Go to Galatians chapter number 4. This is where I first started, all right, was in Galatians. Because I struggle with my flesh, okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. My flesh and my spirit are always at war. And the Bible teaches that. I just think it's, at least in my life, it's very evident to me that my flesh and my spirit are always at war. And but in Galatians chapter number 5, most of you, we're going to 4. But in Galatians chapter number 5, most of you would recognize we have the fruits of the flesh, or the works, the Bible calls it the works of the flesh. And then in the end of that chapter, we have the fruit of the spirit. So these two things are always warring against each other. That is in Galatians chapter number 5. Now, and I know Galatians chapter 4, you say, Brother Chad, that's talking about law and grace. But I believe if you put it in with Galatians chapter 5, it's also talking about the flesh and the spirit. Okay? So let's look at Galatians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 22. Galatians 4, verse 22. Bible says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. Now, technically, listen, he had more than that, right? Because of the ones that Keturah gave to him. But the Bible here says he had two. He had two sons. Now, I believe that basically shows a decision right here, okay? You know, that choice is basically you have two choices a lot of times in life. And he had two choices. But verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by what? Promise. So we have here a son that was born, the Bible says, after the flesh. The other one was born by promise. Okay? So I put down that Ishmael was, you know, he was the son of the flesh. You know, Ishmael honestly was the son of a fleshly decision. Hey, we're going to do this. This is what feels good at the moment, so this is what I'm going to do. Okay? This is what feels right at the moment. This is what I'm going to do. So Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Now, I do not believe that Ishmael was the son of God's promise. He was not the son of God's promise. Isaac was the son of God's promise. Okay? Ishmael was not the son of God's promise. However, I do believe that Ishmael, and I want you to listen to this, Ishmael is a good example of God's mercy and grace. You know, Ishmael, if you look at the life of Ishmael, Ishmael got blessed by the Lord. His seed, you look at the rape, for those of you that don't know, most of you know this, all the Arab nations essentially are descendants of Ishmael. Okay? And this is, I'm getting to that later. Okay? Because the decisions we make today do affect our future generations, okay? But when we make decisions based on our flesh, well, I want to do this because it feels good, okay? Let's go to, you know, if we go, I think you're in Galatians chapter 4, flip over to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now the works, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery. Why do people do adultery? Because it appeals to their flesh. Why do people commit fornication? Because it appeals to your flesh. Okay? Uncleanness, lasciviousness, all of these. We can go through every one of these, and they're all flesh-based decisions. Every one of them. Okay? So we've got a son of the flesh, which is Ishmael. And, you know, that was not a good decision. Okay? At the moment, it looked like a good decision. You know, we can judge Sarah, you know, 7,000 some years later. Well, that was stupid. But you hadn't just waited for 10 years waiting on the promise of God. Okay? So, Ishmael was still blessed, but he was the son of the flesh. Ishmael was the result of impatience on the part of Sarah and Abraham. It was them, coming to the place where they were tired of waiting on God and decided to take matters into their own hands. In a bigger sense, Ishmael is just a symbol of the flesh versus the spirit. I know this passage talks about law and grace, but I believe it also talks about the flesh and the spirit. You know, I know in my life personally, folks, and I think if you're honest, it's easier to do what your flesh wants. And in very practical terms, okay, all of you, well, most of you, there's a few oddballs in here probably, but most of you would rather eat, you know, a Snickers bar versus, you know, something that's really, really good for you, like a salad or something like that. You know, if given the choice, you know what your flesh wants? What your flesh wants. Okay? I'd rather drink, you know, Mountain Dew than water. Okay? But that's not good for me. All right? It's not. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, there's that battle, and sometimes the flesh wins, and some, you know, that. I mean, but there's a lot of other things. That's a silly example. But you know, a lot of times your flesh wants something that your spirit says you can't have that. You can't have that. And I'm going to show you here in a little bit. You know, there's a way to fix that. But Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Ishmael was the son. It made more sense from a human standpoint than it does from a spiritual standpoint. Young people, sometimes the rules aren't going to make sense. The things that your parents say, you know, you need to do this. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why do I have to do that? And, you know, as, you know, when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, 10, 12, you know, you just kind of go with the flow. You just kind of, walk around and you have fun, okay? But when you get a little older, young people, listen to me. You're going to start questioning, just like Abraham and Sarah did. God, what about that? So what about this? I've been doing what's right. I've been obeying. But what about this? And if you're not careful, we tend to make decisions based on what our flesh wants rather than what the Spirit wants us to do. So Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Secondly, Ishmael was the son of immediate gratification. Right. Immediate gratification. And here's one of the whole problems, young people, is, and adults, we live our life, and I'm going to mention this later too, we live our life based on the here and now. How does this affect me right now? How does this feel right now? If it doesn't feel right, well, I don't want to do it. Okay? You know, if I went to work based on how the work made me feel, I wouldn't go to work. Right. Who would? I don't like the way work makes me feel, guys. Okay? I don't like physical exercise. Who in your right mind, you know, likes physical exercise? I just enjoy it. You know, sweating, like tired, my body hurts. I just love it. No, you're stupid, all right? I don't like it. And you don't either. Well, no, you don't, all right? Your flesh doesn't anyway. You know what you do like? You like the paycheck. And you like being able to be physically fit, okay? You don't like what the media is. You like what's coming down the road, okay? Does that make sense? But we live so much in an immediate gratification. Okay, well, you know, if it doesn't affect me, you know, how is this going to affect me right now? How about we start asking, how is this going to affect my grandchildren? Young people, listen to me. How is this, and honestly, how is this going to affect my grandchildren? Well, Brother Chad, I'm 14. Exactly. Because some of the decisions you make as a 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old will affect your grandchildren. 100% affect your grandchildren. But we're so concerned about what I want right now that we don't look at the grandchildren. Abraham and Sarah were so concerned about not having this one promise right now that they, you know, Israel and all the Arab nations are still fighting today. Okay? because they were concerned about the immediate gratification. This goes along. This is a prime example. I wrote this down. We have these cliche statements in our culture. You can change your destiny. It's like, okay, I agree that you can change some things about your life, but you also realize that you shouldn't just be concerned about your future. You should be concerned about their future, your children's future, your grandchildren's future, your great-grandchildren's future. You know, I'm honestly, there's a lot of first-gen, and I won't ask you to raise your hand necessarily, but there's a lot of what I would say is first-generation Christians in here, okay? Now, you may not, your parents may have been saved, but you are honestly the first ones that are really sold out and really are doing something for God, okay? And young people, don't ever discredit the fact that they did something sacrificial for you, because they've sacrificed a lot of stuff so that you can have the advantages that you have. And so many times we get all this stuff, and then we're like, well, I don't want that. I want what I want right now. It sounds like the prodigal son. I want what I have coming to me right now. Ishmael was the son of immediate gratification. I even think that for the first 14 years, Ishmael was 14 years old when Isaac was born. I think for the first 14 years, Ishmael brought a certain amount of joy to Abraham for 14 years. I do. I really do. I mean, why wouldn't he? Abraham hadn't had a son up to this point. I mean, I think at some point he was like, all right, hey, this is what I've got. Hey, let's go fishing. I think there was some enjoyment that Abraham got from that. Okay? I'm not saying that the decisions that you make, young people, aren't going to be temporarily enjoyable. But remember, it's temporary. It's temporary. Ishmael was a son of immediate gratification. This was Abraham's son, but it was not according to God's will. Ishmael, however, was still blessed by God because of God's original plan. Remember, God promised Abraham that he would bless his what? Seed. That was what he first said. He didn't specify he would bless it through Isaac first. Okay? And Ishmael, you look at the Arab nations now, they're still, honestly, they're blessed by God. Because God can't go back on his word. Okay? God won't go back on his word. All right? Look at some of the sheiks and stuff that's over there. They're sitting on a gold mine. Black gold. All right? They're wealthy. A lot of them are. Now, they've been cursed because of decisions that they've made, but they're still in some ways a blessed people. So, first of all, Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Ishmael was the son of immediate gratification. However, thirdly, Ishmael was the son of long-term regrets. Ishmael was the son of long-term regrets. Not only was he the son of long-term regrets, but as soon as Hagar was given to Abraham to wife, there was conflict between Sarah and Hagar. Go back to Genesis. I want to show you this. Genesis chapter number 16, where we started. Why don't you look at verse 2? Because Sarah says something interesting here that never really comes to fruition. You know, let me just say this. Our plans, the best laid plans of us as human beings really don't work out ever the way we want them to, okay? Unless God's involved in it, we're destined to fail in some way, okay? So Sarah has this great idea here in Genesis chapter 16. And Sarah said unto, verse 2, and Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Okay? By her. Now, it's interesting, though. You never see Ishmael referenced in the Bible as the son of Sarah. he's always references the son of Hagar. Okay? I think in Sarah's mind, it's like, all right, I'm going to have this son. And she almost looked at Hagar as a, I don't know, just a tool, non-existent. Like almost she wanted this surrogate parenthood thing. Okay? And she's like, well, you don't even count. He's going to be my son. That never came true. Ishmael was always Hagar's son. Okay? Always. So even what Sarah thought was going to work, I don't think worked the way she was planning. And as soon, we'll look at the verse number 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. The plan's already backfired. Okay? Everything that Sarah thought this is going to be, I've got this idea how I can fast forward the promise of God. Okay? I'm going to get what I want right now. Well, it didn't work that way, okay? You know what, Sarah, honestly, and, you know, Miss Christina just had a child, and you ladies in here that have children, you know, I think in some ways Sarah was hoping to, you know, bypass the whole motherhood thing. You know, the 9 months and the delivery, you know, that's the hard, I say hard part, no, it's really raising probably teenagers, but, you know, that was difficult. I mean, you'll probably never be closer to the jaws of death than that time period, okay? And so she's like, well, I'm going to take a shortcut. I'm going to shortcut God's will. Well, that didn't work, okay? So Ishmael was the son of long-term regrets. There was bitterness. There was jealousy. And honestly, put yourself in those shoes. We know that Abraham and Sarah had been married at least 10 years, and all of a sudden this woman comes to Abraham and gives him something that Sarah couldn't for the last over 10 years give him, okay? No wonder that Hagar despised Sarah, okay? That's just a natural human thing that you would do. But it didn't make it right for Sarah to do. I know that Sarah laughed later on when the angels reiterated that the seed would come through Sarah, but I often wonder if Sarah sometimes just looked out her window, maybe saw Abraham playing with Ishmael and thought, I should have just waited. I should have just waited. So far tonight, we've seen the history in the Bible, this story in the Bible played out in less than 50 years. It's a long time, but something that every one of us, more than likely, you know, you'll see 50 years. Most of us will. But however, let's go forward 7,000 some years to what's going on today and in the past 100 years, between just the past 100 years. Between Israel and, if you would, Ishmael, okay? War, violence, all this stuff, because why? Why, Brother Chad? Because one person said, I'm gonna appease my flesh right now. I want it right now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to obey God, okay? I want it right now. I'm going to appease my flesh right now. So many times, go to Hebrews chapter 11, so many times we sacrifice. And you hear this statement a lot. We sacrifice our future on the altar of the present. We sacrifice our future on the altar of the present. You know, young people, there's a lot of things, and adults too. And here's basically the crux of the message, okay? So that was all just kind of giving you a background on this. We want what God has promised, right? I think everyone wants the blessings of God. Okay, I think young people, I don't think that you just go through life and say, well, and, you know, maybe if you do, but I don't know why, but maybe, you know, you don't just go through life and say, well, I just want to live, you know, like the people that you see living like animals. I just want to live like that. That's my dream in life, just to go live like that. I don't think that's most people's ambition. I want to end up, man, you know, all these guys coming in and giving their then came Jesus testimonies. You know, I've always wanted to be like Burton Gates before he got saved. I always wanted to be like Ryan Nez, you know, in a room for 2 weeks while I'm demonically possessed. I just, you know, that's my ambition and goal in life. I don't really see that, okay? I don't think people want to be that way. They want the good things, right? I mean, I think all you young ladies, you want to be happily married one day,
all right? Or say, well, I'm not interested in boys yet, all right? You will be, okay? Give it time. Guys, I think at some point you want to have a nice family. You want to have a good job. You want to have the things that God honestly has for his children. But you know what? So many times we say, yeah, but I want it now. I want it now. Okay? Listen, the promises of God aren't always here and now. Most of them are, you wait a little bit. You wait a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with the things that come with marriage and stuff like that, but you're not supposed to have it right now. Okay? There's nothing wrong with having some things in life, but it doesn't mean you have to have them right now. Okay? And what we've gotten into a fast food society. I mean, if you go to McDonald's and you have to wait in line more than, you know, 6-7 minutes, you're ready to write a review that's terrible customer service.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Honestly. You know, your hamburger was a little lopsided, so, you know, you take it back inside and tell them you want them to fix it. Okay? Everybody wants stuff now. But, you know, there's a lot of folks in here that they've lived their whole lives, and they're just now reaping the blessings of a decision that they made back when they were a teenager. You can't expect everything that God wants for you right now. You know, the windows of heaven, you know, God promises the windows of heaven will be opened up, folks. Hey, there's a lot of truths. I'm kind of talking to young people, but there's a lot of truths for adults in here too. God promises. You know, one of the promises of God is that the windows of heaven will be opened up if we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. But it doesn't tell us that they're going to be opened up on the way home after you put your tithes and offerings in the storehouse. I wish it worked that way sometimes. Like, all right, God, I'm rolling my windows down. Anytime now, you know. And then it's a week and 2 weeks, and you still haven't got that promise. And you got another paycheck, and a certain amount of that goes to tithe too.
Right.
You say, but God, you didn't fulfill your promise that you would give me everything I needed right now. So I'm going to have to keep this so I can. That's exactly what Sarah did. Yeah, it's a different format, but it's exactly what she did. It's what Abraham did. They said, I want it. Yeah, but I need this right now. It's been 10 years, God. You promised me 10 years ago I'd have seed. I haven't had anything. So God, we're gonna take matters into our own hands. We're going to fix this ourselves. We don't want to wait for anything. Hebrews chapter number 11. I told you to go there, I believe. Look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham. So we're going with Abraham. Look down at verse number 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now hang on just a second. This is huge. Do you know why one reason that God did not want Ishmael to be the chosen seed is because there was nothing miraculous about Ishmael. Think about that. There was nothing Ishmael didn't come, as far as we know, and I did some background because we don't know much about Hagar, okay? So you're going to have to bear with me a little bit. I did some extra research about Hagar. From what I've seen, she was the daughter of a Pharaoh, basically Pharaoh or an Egyptian king, that told her when Abraham went to Egypt and Pharaoh took Sarah into his house, that, from what I've read, that Pharaoh, that was basically either his daughter or one of the chief ladies. He gave her to Sarah and said, you would be better to be a slave in this woman's house than to be a mistress in any other house. That's where Hagar basically came from, is from everything I've read. Several sources said the same thing, okay? So I don't think Hagar, though, is as old as Sarah here. In no shape, way, or form. I don't think she is as old as Sarah. I don't think the birth of Hagar or the birth of Ishmael, it was not a miraculous birth. It was something that they could just do on themselves.
Okay, that was within the reason of man. Okay,
now look over here at verse number 17. This is interesting. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his what? What's the next three words? Only begotten son. Now, was he the only son? No, he wasn't the only, but he was the only begotten son. There was something special about Isaac. There was something special when God came down and touched Sarah and said, you're going to have a child. There was a miracle involved. You know, so many times we take all of the things, you know, and I'm guilty about this. God's allowed me, young people, to be able to fix things with my hands. But you know, there's a lot of things in life that you can look at and you can go and you can say, all right, how can I fix this? I got to fix this problem. I got to fix this situation. But if I can fix it, you know who gets the credit for fixing it? Man does. But if it's out of my control, you know who can get the credit for fixing it? God can. God can. And the only thing, you know, one of the huge differences was Ishmael was a child of the flesh, very much a child of the flesh, a natural child. Isaac was a supernatural child, okay? He shouldn't have been born. He shouldn't have, okay? So we see that. Why couldn't Ishmael be the seed that God blessed as a chosen people? It wasn't what God had planned. Isaac is the only one that the Bible calls Abraham's only begotten son. All right, here's a few things I want to leave you with. Wait for the promises of God. Wait for the promises of God. I'm guilty about this. I just run into things like, let's God, we're going to get this done. And I don't wait on what God's promised me that would come. Okay? So wait on the promises of God. Young people, wait. Wait, wait, wait. Don't be impatient. Okay? Don't be impatient. Just wait on the promises of God. It's not going to make sense because after I wrote this down, but I didn't know how else to word it. Look ahead to those following you. Now, that's an odd statement. But you do. You got to look ahead to those that are following after you. Okay? How's this going to affect, like I said earlier, how's this going to affect my children, my grandchildren? Trust God. He can see the bigger picture. You know, the Bible's full of promises. The first one I thought about is Proverbs. Go to Proverbs and we'll be done here. Proverbs. Actually, I got one more thing. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Most of you know this verse, these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what God just wants us to do? All right, God, I'm here. I'm in your will. Show me what you have for me. You know, don't rush it. Don't rush it. Don't do what you think makes sense. Well, that just doesn't make sense. You know, tithing? I think my accountant probably just shakes her head every time tax time comes. You know, tithing to the world makes absolutely no sense. And honestly, if I look at it from a very, very humanistic standpoint, you know, and most of you men in here could agree, you can do a lot of stuff with the 10, 15% that you give to the church or whatever it is. You could do a lot of other stuff. You know, you may never see, honestly, listen, we may never, you know, Brother Charles English may have never seen what all those years, and I just picked one out, the first one that came to my mind, years of giving has done. You know, there's young people in here that do not know him. Think about that. There's a lot of young people in here that never knew Charles English, that never knew Forrest Ali. And I could go around the room.
There's a lot of young people in here that never knew Bob Ross. A lot of young people. I mean, I could say, I don't know, almost half of this front row over here. That when we talk about Bob Ross, they have no, I mean, besides maybe seeing a picture, they have no, even if they were alive, they have no recollection of who it was. They have no recollection of who some of these people were. You know, those folks never have seen, and we see that in the life of Abraham. He never saw the seed that would come after him. He never saw it. But he said, I'm going to trust God. Yeah, he made a mistake here. But there's a lot of times he didn't make mistakes. He said, I'm going to trust God. When he's getting ready to slay his son Isaac, I'm trusting God. Okay? I'm trusting God. Trust God. He can see the bigger picture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And I wish I could see the presses bursting out sometimes, but you know what? Sometimes that's for my children and grandchildren to see. Honestly. Okay? I could, and most of these men in here could go out and make, you know, I would, I want to say this right. I don't have to work. I wouldn't have to work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? It's not like this is, oh, shucks, he's all we got. Okay? I could go out and I could make a lot of money someplace. But you know, the money's not what it's about, folks. It's about the young people. It's about the people we bring on the buses. It's about the two girls that got baptized this morning. It's about the little girl that got saved this morning. Okay? That's what it's about. And we do a lot of things that don't make sense to the world because we were pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham. They're looking for a city. They're looking for a city. Young people, this isn't all there is. Hey, I'm glad when you guys get a truck. Girls, I'm glad when you guys get whatever girls get. I don't know. A new dress. I don't know. I don't know if girls are cheaper or, you know, girls like want a lot of small things. Guys like want like big stuff. It's like they'll wear rags as long as they're driving a nice truck. You know what I mean? Girls will drive around this piece of junk as long as they look nice when they get out of it. Hey, that's true. But you know what? It's not all about that stuff, guys. Girls, it's not all about all the little frills of life. Yeah, and you know what? God, I'm gonna stand up here and just honor. God's blessed me in so many ways. You know the dreams that you used to have that sometimes you got to give up, and then God comes back and says, "Hey, you remember that?" God, how could I forget? Well, here you go. And it's cheaper than what you would have paid for it if you would have done it yourself. Listen, young people, the life that God has for you, the promises are great. But don't try to shortcut it. Don't try to shortcut it. You know, folks, the things that we do, the senior saints, the things that you do, thank you so much for just stepping in, and you know, you're here every service, and you've sacrificed over the years. Listen, you may not see sometimes, but you know what? These kids will. These kids will. This is why we do it. You know, I think Brother Tom's probably, you know, he's got all of his kids here tonight. Grandkids. I think that's worth some sacrifices that you make. years and years and years ago. You say, well, I won't ever see, and that's just one. I mean, there's generation. Pastor said this morning, there's generational in here. And I don't live my life for me. I mean, there's things that I like to do, but isn't there something bigger to live for? Amen. Isn't there promises of God that we can claim as long as we're not taking shortcuts and trying to shortchange these things? Okay, I want to give you one thought, and then we'll be done. You said, Brother Chad, you talked about the son of the flesh and the son of the spirit. You know, it's interesting. You know, when Abraham sent Ishmael out, the Bible doesn't say that he sent anything with him. You know, everything that Abraham had. Okay, now I want you to think about this. Abraham made a bad decision, right? Well, I think we'd agree with me on that. Abraham made a bad decision. So he had a son of the flesh, and he had a son, if you would, of promise or of the spirit. But you know who Abraham gave everything to? The Bible says he gave everything to who? Isaac. You know, that's what, as Christians, we need to do. Say, well, what do you mean, Brother Chad? Feed the spirit. Amen. That flesh and that spirit is always going to fight each other. But if you're going back and you're feeding that spirit, say, all right, okay, this is, I can't disclaim he's the fact he's my son, but you need to go over here. And he basically banished him. Okay, you look at where he sent him on a map. Flip open your Bible and look at where Abraham sent Ishmael. Like on the complete other side. And then he said, here, Isaac, here's everything. Now listen to me. You never, except for a few genealogies, you never hear about Ishmael again. He basically disappears. Now, did he disappear? No, they're still present. But as far as the Bible is concerned, it's all about Isaac and the promises of God. All right, let's live our lives after the promises of God, not on the here and now. Young people, don't sacrifice everything in your future on what feels good right now. Okay? Just don't do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I don't know if this is a help. This was a help to me, God, as I struggle with my flesh and my spirit fighting each other, and Lord, many times I want the things, Lord, that will temporarily satisfy. But Lord, as the songwriter said, only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Lord, I pray that our young people would make some decisions, God. Some of them are getting to the age they have to make some decisions who they'll serve and what they'll do. And Lord, you've promised a lot of things to them. But Lord, they have to wait for those promises. They have to trust you. And Lord, trusting is hard to do, especially when we wait for a long time. And God, I pray that you give us patience. Lord, help us as Christians. Lord, we have promises in the Bible that we stake not only our well-being, but Lord, our eternal salvation, our eternal security. Lord, I pray that we would trust you in your promises. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.